Chapter 28. Fir Kusat knocked on a door high inside the Great Pyramid of Shosendi. Two knocks. Pause. Two. Pause. One. When he and Dorian and Solon had been students at the Magi's School of Fire, they hadn't rated such prestigious rooms. But he and Dorian hadn't been given the rooms now so much to thank them for their historic services as to keep an eye on them. The door cracked open, and Dorian's eye appeared on the other side. Fir always thought it was funny. Dorian was a prophet. He could foretell the fall of a kingdom or the winner of a horse race, a lucrative trick when Fir could convince him to do it. But he couldn't tell who was at his own door. He said that prophesying concerning himself involved spiraling uncomfortably close to madness. Dorian ushered Fir inside and barred the door behind him. Fir felt himself passing through an improbably high number of wards. He looked at them. A ward against eavesdropping, he'd expected. A ward against entry was unusual to maintain when you were in the throne room yourself, but the truly strange one was a ward to keep magic in. Fir fingered the threads of the weave, shaking his head in astonishment. Dorian was the kind of magus born once a generation. After studying at Hoth Selar, the healer's school on Gandu, and mastering all they had to teach him by the time he was 16, Dorian had come to the School of Fire and mastered fire magics while not even pretending to be interested in them. He'd only stayed because he'd become friends with Fir and Solon. Solon's talents were almost solely in fire, but he was the strongest of the three. Fir wasn't sure why the two had become friends with him. Maybe because he wasn't threatened by their excellence. They were so obviously the kind of men who'd been touched by the gods that Fir didn't even think to be jealous for a long time. Maybe it helped that he'd been born a peasant. It probably also helped that whenever he was struggling with his studies and started to be jealous, one or the other of his friends would suggest sparring with him. Fir looked fat, but he could move. And he trained daily with the Blade Masters, who kept their central training facility mere minutes from Shosendi. For Solon or Dorian to volunteer to spar with him was to volunteer for bruises. Dorian could heal bruises later, but they still hurt. Dorian had half-packed saddlebags open on the bed. Fir sighed.
"You know the Assembly's forbidden you to leave. They don't care about Cenaria. Honestly, if Solon weren't there, I wouldn't either. We could send him a message to leave."
The school's leaders hadn't phrased it that way, of course. They were more worried about delivering the content of Midcryu's only, perhaps the world's only, prophet into the God-King's hand.
"You don't even know the best part yet,"
Dorian said, grinning like they were children. Fir felt the blood draining from his face. The wards to keep magic in the room suddenly made sense.
"You aren't planning to steal it?"
"I could make the argument that it's ours. The three of us were the ones who tracked it, found it, and brought it back. They stole it from us first, Fir."
"You agreed it would be safer here. We let them take it from us."
"So I'm taking it back,"
Dorian said, shrugging.
"So it's you against all the world again?"
"It's me for all the world, Fir. Will you come with me?"
"Come with you? Is this the madness?"
When Dorian's gift for prophecy had surfaced, one of the first things he'd tried was to tell his own future. He'd learned that no matter what he did, he would go mad one day. Delving into his own future would only hasten that day's arrival.
I thought you said you had still had a decade or so.
Not so long now, Dorian said. He shrugged like it didn't matter, as if it didn't break his heart, exactly the way he'd shrugged when he'd asked Solon to go to Cenaria, knowing it would cost Solon Cade's love.
Before you answer, Fear, know this. If you come with me, you will regret it many times, and you will never again walk the halls of Shosendi.
You make such a convincing plea, Fear said, rolling his eyes.
You will also save my life at least twice, own a forge, be known throughout the world as the greatest living weaponsmith, have a small part in saving the world, and die satisfied. If not nearly so old as you or I hoped.
Oh, that's better, Fier said sarcastically. But his stomach was doing flips. Dorian rarely told what he knew, but when he did, he never lied.
Just a small part in saving the world?
Fier, your purpose in life isn't your happiness. We're part of a much bigger story, everyone is. If your part is unsung, does that make it worthless? Our purpose on this trip isn't to save Solon. It's to see a boy. We will face many dangers to get there. Death is a very real possibility, and do you know what that boy needs from us?
3 words. Maybe 2, if the name counts as only 1.
Do you want to know what they are?
Sure.
Ask Mama Kay.
That's it? What's it mean? Fear asked.
I have no idea. Sometimes a seer could be a pain in the ass.
You ask for a lot from me, Fear said.
Dorian nodded.
I'll regret it if I say yes.
Many times.
But not in the end.
It might be easier if you told me less.
Believe me, Dorian said, I wish I didn't have such a clear view of what lies before you down each possible choice here. If I told you less, you would hate me for holding back. If I told you more, you might not have the heart to carry on.
Enough!
Gods! Was it going to be that bad?
Fear looked at his hands. He'd have a forge. He'd be known throughout the world for his work. It had been one of his dreams. Maybe he could even marry. Have sons. He thought of asking Dorian, but didn't dare. He sighed and rubbed his temples.
Dorian broke into a big smile.
Good. Now, help me figure out how we're going to get Curoc out of here.
Fear was sure he had misunderstood. Then he felt the blood draining from his face. There were wards on the door to keep magic in.
When you say here, you mean here in the school.
Like I still have a chance to convince you not to try to steal the most guarded artifact in Midcryu. Right?
Dorian threw back the covers on the bed. There was a plain, sheathed sword on it. It looked entirely normal, except that the sheath was made entirely of lead, and it covered the sword entirely, even the hilt, damping the magic. But this wasn't just a magic sword. It was more like the magic sword. This was Curoc, Emperor Jorsan Alkesti's sword, the sword of power. Most magi weren't even strong enough to use it. If Fear, or most others, tried, it would kill him in a second. Dorian had said even Solon couldn't use it safely. But after Jorsan Alkesti's death, there had been quite a few magi who had been able to, and they'd destroyed more than one civilization.
At first,
I thought I was going to have to prophesy my own future to get it, but instead, I prophesied the guards. Everything worked perfect, except one guard came down a hallway that he only had maybe a 1 in 1,000 chance of taking. I had to knock him out. But the good news is, he's going to be nursed back to health by a lovely girl whom he'll later marry. You're telling me there's some guard unconscious upstairs right now just waiting to be found? While we're talking? Why are you even doing this? Because he needs it. He? You're stealing Kurok for Ask Mama K, boy? Fear asked. Oh, no. Well, not directly. The boy who needs to hold Kurok, the one the whole world needs to hold Kurok, isn't even born yet. But this is our only chance to take it. Gods! You're serious? Fear said. Stop pretending this changes anything. You've already decided. We're going to Cenaria. Sometimes a seer could be a pain in the ass. Try always.